This place where the mindfulness starts to get wobbly, starts to slip out. Can sometimes, as with many experiences, there's so many different ways it can be expressed or be felt, but one way that I've gotten really familiar with is a kind of a feeling. It can sometimes feel like it can sometimes feel akin to the moment or the experience of the dropping just as you're getting ready to fall asleep. Some of you may be familiar with that kind of experience, of that quality of the drop. And so that experience can be interpreted as the mind getting sleepy. But sometimes that experience is more about the mind releasing or letting go of some kind of tightness, some kind of clinging. And so the familiarity with that experience, that kind of drop, sometimes it can just feel like a drop and a spread. That can support our ability to stay connected through that experience. I often find in that place when the mind kind of releases and shifts, it feels like the attention, sometimes it feels like the attention has shifted or is shifting from something where it's looking like right at something really kind of more focused to being a much broader kind of attention. And so in that place with the dropping and the sense of that shift in that way, it needs to be really receptive, because what is happening there, the mind is letting go of something and shifting to something, often something that we're not as familiar with being present for. And it may be a very broad, diffuse experience. The state of, could be the state of ease or calm. Another piece around that aspect or that area of experience, and this generally happens mostly in meditation, although I do occasionally experience it in daily life. I mentioned curiosity at that moment when we're seeing the mindfulness get a little wobbly. And curiosity is really our friend there, because if we try to bring in a conscious kind of effort there, a kind of a checking, well, am I aware right now? That is often an effort that's more agitated in the mind or more obvious, or it's a kind of a grosser experience than what the mind is doing in that moment, the kind of the settling and the releasing that's happening in that moment. And so In this exploration of the wandering or of the edges of the mind leaving mindfulness, this is a place where we can begin to explore that as there's more continuity of mindfulness. So it's not something we can go looking for or try to catch, but this again is more of a pointing to something that can be noticed, because this is not something that we can consciously do. We can't sit there waiting, can I see the mindfulness going away? Because that keeps the mind at a certain level of kind of connection or a certain level of experience. And almost by its very nature, some of these drops or some of these shifts of attention, some of these shifts of where the mind begins to let go, It's at a different level, and often it's partly because the mind is shifting to something we're not so familiar with. So we really need to be receptive there. So it's more along the lines of, you know, at the beginning of a sitting, we can set the intention. Maybe I'll begin to notice these shifts out of mindfulness. and have some curiosity about it. But it's definitely not, can I turn around and look at what's there? It's we talked about this yesterday, the kind of the feeling of a spreading and expanding of mindfulness. It's got more of that quality. And not something that, it's more something that's revealed than something we look at. So I used the phrase the other day, thinking of mindfulness as being with experience. And I like that in contrast to looking at experience. So kind of the, can the mind be with this shift as opposed to trying to turn around and look at the shift? Hang on just a sec. Questions? So another piece I want to bring in is I'm talking about this kind of shift out of mindfulness in our sitting practice. This is what I just described is kind of a subtlety of the shift out of mindfulness. But this exploration of the curiosity of where do we lose awareness? How does that happen? This is also something that's really useful in the midst of our daily lives. You know, kind of as you go through your day, and again, this is a suggestion of things that you might begin to notice. So dropping this in, sometimes Sayadaw would say, I'm not telling you something to do. This is not a classic instruction where it's like, you know, this is what you should do today. But this is more of a description of what you might begin to be aware of, or a kind of a pointing for curiosity. And that is, what are the kind of situations, what are the places, what are the states of mind in which the mindfulness tends to get lost? Is it when you walk out the door? Is it when you get in your car? Is it, you know, with a particular state of mind, like frustration? So getting familiar during your day. So again, not trying to force your mind to be mindful all day, but kind of being curious, what are the sinkholes? What are the quicksand places in your day where mindfulness gets lost? There's probably a lot of those, but there may be some that kind of stand out for you. And so perhaps you discover that. Let's talk about a couple different kinds of things. So sometimes it can be connected with activities, talking, for example, or maybe particular things you do, like driving on the freeway where the mind just zones out or something. So there may be particular activities that you do where the mindfulness tends to get lost. And so when you begin to notice these areas or these sinkholes during your day, then, you know, one approach to that might be, okay, I'm getting ready to get in the car, or I'm aware right now driving on the city streets, and I'm getting onto the on-ramp, and I know that I've tended to lose mindfulness here. One approach might be, am I aware? Kind of forcing or you know, just really staying with the efforting there, the reminding. And that's one way to approach it. But another way to approach it is through curiosity. So what happens? What is it that catches the mind? This may take time. This kind of exploration may take time. So you're getting on the freeway, and so you might notice that, you know, just as you get on, it's, you know, you're still there, and then some 5 minutes later, you realize, wow, I didn't notice where I lost that mindfulness. That's okay. You're back again now. So just, you know, keep going and set the intention for that. Well, let's see. Maybe the mind can notice. What hooks? What's the hook? Where is it that the mind gets lost? Or sometimes it feels like a hook where there's a kind of a yank out of the present moment. Sometimes it feels more like a fade and kind of just drift out of the present moment. So being curious about how that happens. So curiosity can begin to reveal often these moments when the mindfulness slips out. If we're trying to look at it, we're never going to see it. And so we really have to have the curiosity be our friend there. It's like, okay, let's just, over and over again, you know, just here I am in that situation where the mindfulness gets lost. oh, missed it, didn't see it. Just keep trying. That intention and the curiosity will begin to allow the mindfulness to pick up the little first hints, the intention of the mind shifting to something else. So that kind of curiosity. So in places or activities, you can be curious about that. Then another kind of way we get caught is particular mind states, you know, that we have particular mind states that tend to be very sticky for us. Those, the way that I've seen this unfold is that the first place is that we begin to notice that these mind states tend to be those sinkholes is when we wake up into that mind state. And it's like we recognize, wow, I have just spent the last 5 minutes in that habit of frustration or anxiety or whatever it was. And so in that moment of the mindfulness returning and noticing that, you know, it's like, okay, this is your opportunity in that moment to really, you have woken up into that state. So you are able to get a little flavor of what the experience of being mindful in that state is. And so that's the way it begins. We begin to get a flavor of that. And then with the intention, sometimes I will set the intention when I have particular mind states that are very sticky. I'll set the intention for a stretch of time. You know, I want to be able to notice whenever that state arises. And sometimes I'll be able to notice it and sometimes not. But again, that intention begins to help the mind to be curious about it. But often we do end up noticing it sometime after it's arisen, after maybe we've gotten caught in it a little bit. But in that moment of noticing that, then it's like we are seeing, okay, it is possible to be mindful in that experience because here I am, I woke up into it and I'm aware of it. And so that begins to inform the mindfulness. We begin to recognize, well, this is the quality. This is how the body feels. This is how the mind feels. And what I've seen in my own experience happening is the mind gets familiar with that kind of experience. And we have the intention or the curiosity about waking up with that experience. It seems like the way the process works, this is certainly not something I was able to do consciously, but it's what happened that as I had set that intention to be curious about the mind state, I began to wake up earlier and earlier in the process. So the mind had not been quite so enmeshed in it. So I began to get familiar with maybe the subtler flavor of that mind state, where it wasn't quite so strong. And so it's like the mindfulness gets attuned to that quality and partly, I think, recognizes the suffering of it. I think this may be partly how it works, that in the waking up into reactive mind states, we feel the suffering of those mind states. And the mind, of course, in the way the mind wants to move, it doesn't want to be in suffering. And so as we are orienting to it, it's like that suffering of that mind state becomes a wake-up bell. And so the mind begins to orient or recognize, hey, you're heading that way, wake up. This seems to be what happens. And so the as we attune or get interested in the states of mind, again, not trying to stop them, but the curiosity around them. So waking up into those states seems to create the conditions for us to notice them earlier and earlier, to the point where we may notice the mind's intention to move into that state. That's quite a startling experience for me, at least the first time I saw that. I had been looking at anger, observing anger for several weeks, I think, at this point. A particular anger, and had noticed that the practice of mindfulness was making it easier to not get so caught in the anger. And then one day, I noticed while I was doing something, just, you know, in my kitchen, I was doing something, I noticed a thought about the person that I was angry with and felt this, like, you know, freight train of like, urge to get on that thought and think more thoughts in order to get angry. And so I wasn't angry in the moment, but saw that kind of impulse or the intention to head there. And seeing that impulse in that moment, the mind just let go. it let go of that, because it's like, yeah, that way lies suffering. I didn't choose to let it go. Again, that's what happened. And so this seems to be how it works. So if we get curious about those sinkholes, those places, those habitual places of the mind getting lost, maybe set that intention, you know, after noticing, well, this is one of the really sticky ones. You know, impatience for me was another one I worked with. Like, wow, this is a sticky one. Let me take a couple of months and let myself see what happens there. So that curiosity around places where we tend to get lost, again, not trying to force yourself to stay mindful, but more the curiosity about where is it sticky? How does it slip?